All right, it is Wednesday afternoon, time for SOTA Money Trends with Metairie Bank, and Paul Myers, who is the North Shore Market President, joins us. Paul, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you today?
I'm good. We've got a couple of things to talk to you about. Let's start with Ian Hoke as a question. I saw two bottles of scotch at Dordnecks yesterday, and each bottle was $10,000. And so Ian had a question for you.
Paul, I don't have that much money to spend on alcohol or anything at all. How can Metairie Bank help me buy that scotch? And we can't let my wife know about it.
Well, I have bad news for you. Evidently, she was listening earlier, and I received an email from Mrs. Hoke saying, no, absolutely not.
Man.
Wow.
Busted.
I could set you up with a nice savings account, maybe some type of a money market type thing, maybe a little CD.
Okay.
That, maybe for Christmas, you could put some money in there and add to it.
Yeah.
And maybe for Christmas, that's a nice little Christmas present for Mrs. Hoke. I'm sure she would appreciate
great.
That.
Yeah, Paul, I know some of those words. That sounds great.
Paul, as I mentioned, the good thing is that, if somebody did come in and want a loan for the $10,000 bottle of wine at Dordnecks, the decision would be made locally. You're not going to send the paperwork off to some other city with other people making the decision. You make the decision right here.
I got to tell you, I was listening, and you and Ian did a phenomenal job selling the local decision-making and just the community aspect of Metairie Bank. So thank you both very much.
All right. The other thing that I want to ask you is, the Powerball is $1 billion and the Mega Millions is $720 million, once tonight, once on Friday. Just basically tell us what somebody should do if they did win.
Initially,
nothing.
Initially, absolutely nothing. Because what happens is you get super excited and you're like, now granted, don't get me wrong. You win $1 billion. I think I heard on Fox 8 this morning, so the cash prize is like $500 million. And then you have to take taxes out of that. So you'd have to budget, but at 200, I think you'd call it 250 to 300 million. You'd have to budget, but you could probably make ends meet with just that reduced amount from the $1 billion. Saying that with a big smile on my face, but initially they say, I've even read articles from financial advisors where they say, look, take depending upon how much money you win, take $100,000. And that is your, holy cow, I just won the lottery. I'm going to be stupid money. And you—that's what you spend crazy on. But initially, don't do anything. You just like with any budgeting, whether you make $30,000 a year, $100,000 a year, $1 million a year, or you win the Powerball, you gotta set up a plan. You gotta figure out where are you going with all of this, and how does this work? Because otherwise, we all see the articles and that you see the different things where it talks about the lottery winners who died destitute.
Yeah.
You know, they won $100 million and within 5 years or 10 years they're completely broke and destitute. And this also happens. You mentioned Paul Skeens, and I wish nothing but the best for any athlete or any person who is able to sign a contract like that. But that is also a tragic story of a lot of professional athletes who, as they're playing and they're earning that money, they don't invest it the way that they need to. They don't get with the right people, and within 5 years of retirement, they're filing for bankruptcy because they haven't done the things that they needed to do. They haven't planned for what life is following their career. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that applies, that principle applies at every income level, at no matter a windfall or not. If you have an inheritance that you get and you've made a decent living, but you haven't been able to take family trips or anything else, and you have an inheritance. You have to plan, or else, what's the old saying? Is it failing to plan is planning to fail. So you have to put a plan together, and you have to recognize what do you want to achieve with this windfall or with this money? What's your end game?
Yeah, because some people just, you know, get like a ton of money just all of a sudden, inheritance or whatever. And it would be easy to go crazy. But also, Paul, isn't there something to the idea that they didn't earn the money? They just got the money. They won the money, or it was just handed over to them. So they didn't go through the process of earning the money. Therefore, they might not know how to keep the money. The people who earned the money understood what it took to make that money. And just being handed the money doesn't mean that you're going to be a good rich person.
No, it doesn't. But what you hope is that, you know, whether, again, I go back to, I think, and this is my opinion, okay? I think that good, sound financial principles can be established whether you're an hourly employee making minimum wage right now and you're working your way up to people making $500,000 a year. I think it all falls into understanding your own personal cash flow and money management and putting that plan together. You know, understanding what your own budget is, understanding how your cash flow comes in and goes back out. You know, I think those principles can be applied no matter what level of income or even if you inherit a large sum of money.
Let's go back to what you said a moment ago, Paul. So it's $1 billion. So if you take the cash settlement, it's $500 million. After taxes,
right.
Did you say that would be about $253 million that you'd actually get cash in the bank?
Don't hold me to that. But, let's say, and I don't know because you have state and federal. And again, I haven't done a lot of research on this, but we'll have to consult we'll have to consult Ian, who's the real professional of the group here. But I do believe you have to pay taxes on if you took that lump sum. So if you're at 35-45%, just to do easy math, let's say the lump sum is $500 million, and just for easy math for conversation purposes, let's say it's 50% when it's all said and done. So now you're at 250. So when your walk away money from the $1 billion is 250.
Well, it's not even worth buying a ticket.
I don't.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'll happily take that ticket off your hands.
Yeah.
I
mean, $253 million is still a lot of money. But, you know, this is why I'm very much in favor of we don't have to get into this, but I'm going to put this out there now. I like the idea of a flat tax because I don't think, like, rich people should be unfairly taxed with this incredible tax amount, this incredible percentage. But anyway, yeah, and, you know, I've also heard that a lot of people who win, say, $3 million to $10 million, they start associating with other millionaires, and they try to lead their lifestyle, and they end up running out of money trying to chase the other millionaires in their lifestyles.
Well, and again, I think, to my point a minute ago, I think that goes back to understanding what your personal cash flow and budget is. Now, let's say you win $3 million, and now you're associating with people who are multimillionaires like yourself now that you're there.
Of course.
But maybe their annualized income, based upon investments or companies that they own or whatever the case may be, maybe they're making $2, $3, $4 million a year, $2 or $3 million in a one lump sum thing.
Right.
The buying power between the two of you is going to be vastly different. And you have to understand that how that budget needs to work within the confines of what you have in your own thing. You know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter who, when we get in my truck, she likes to play DJ. I have no control over the radio when my daughter gets in the car.
I understand.
And one of the songs that she plays, it's a country song, but the comment is that even the Joneses can't keep up with the Joneses. And you know, in today's society, with all of the different emotional things, and you know, to use another pop culture reference, the old Willy Wonka when I was a kid, or even before, where it's Veruca Salt says, you know, I want an Oompa Loompa, and I want it now. The society that we're in is we've kind of lost patience. When we see something we want it,
yeah,
and we have access to it from all the different online and different areas that we can acquire things. And what happens is sometimes we equate the emotional response or the euphoric response of actually being able to buy something or buying something, that's even more profound for the individual than the actual item itself.
Yes.
You know, so you don't even really, you don't enjoy that item. It's the process of it. So those are things that can get real tricky in a hurry, no matter what level of income that you have. And again, that goes back to understanding and respecting your personal cash flow, your budgeting, you know, however you set up your budget, whether you follow the 50-30-20 rule or whatever the case may be. Those are all things that you have to really recognize before you do end up, you wake up one day because of all these emotional buys, if you will, you wake up and that cognitive dissonance or that buyer's remorse, you look around and you go, holy cow, you know, I've got all this great stuff, but now I've got, you know, credit card debt.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, Paul, I know we were scheduled to talk about, are you guilty of overspending? Can we do that another time? Because I thought with the Powerball tonight and with the Mega Millions on Friday night, that there was a lot of conversation about what people should do with the money. And I think this was more enlightening. Plus, you know, we really needed to hear the process of applying for a loan to buy a $10,000 bottle of scotch at Dordogne's. I thought these were the real pressing issues today.
Well, I did get a follow-up email from Mrs. Hope that says, do not let Scoot talk you into it. So, you know, and look, I enjoy scotch. I enjoy bourbon. I would be afraid that my palate isn't sophisticated enough to appreciate the taste of a $10,000 bottle of scotch.
We'll just leave it on the mantle. It looks cool. It's like a status flex. Next time we have a dinner party, we'll be like, oh, have you seen Ian $10,000 bottle of scotch? And be like, damn.
Well, let's go to that scene in Meet the Parents where, you know, you're doing some champagne, that bottle's on the mantle, champagne, the cork flies out, knocks it over, and spills it all over the floor.
Oh, my God.
Ugh. All right, Paul Myers is a North Shore Market President. We'll talk about are you guilty of overspending another time. But this has been a great conversation,
absolutely.
Paul.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us.